With me right now is Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Thank you for allowing me to be on your show, Barry. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you here and to help promote help for small businesses, mm-hmm. which are the backbone, really, of our economy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's coming up? You've got. We were talking a little bit before getting started. Next week is Small Business Week?
It is. Next week is National Small Business Week across the nation. For over 50 years now, the SBA, which is the Small Business Administration, has celebrated the critical role that small businesses play. And during National Small Business Week, they salute them and offer some virtual events for them. And then, of course, all across the country, different entities are offering workshops and trainings and stuff in order to show their appreciation and the understanding that, hey, you know, we wouldn't have the economy that we do, such as it is, without the small businesses. So we really appreciate all their hard work.
So talk a little bit more about that. You know, we tend to think when we think about business and the impact that a business can have. You think about the giant corporations,
mm-hmm.
and there's no doubt they do have an impact. But what about the role of small businesses? And in the end, all those little small businesses here, all across the country, that adds up to a huge impact on the economy.
It does. It does. And sometimes people overlook that. You know, you've got your mom and pop shops that some people call them, and you have the Main Street shops. But those, especially in some smaller towns or rural towns, they really are the economy of those particular towns and counties. But even in large cities, people are drawn to the small businesses because they tend to have unique things that you can't find elsewhere, or wonderful food that, you know, you can't get from the big box franchises and stuff. And so more than 90% of businesses are considered small businesses in the United States. And so it, you know, you can extrapolate from there that really, you know, that means that they are employing more than, it ends up being more than half of the workforce is employed by a small business owner.
What is there a criteria? I'm sure there is with the government, the SBA, looking at and serving these small businesses. What is the criteria for a small business?
Yeah, so by definition, federal definition of a small business is anyone that has fewer than 500 employees. That's the easiest criteria to look at.
That can be a pretty big small business.
Yeah, and I think we would all argue that, you know, we wouldn't call that small. But nonetheless, that is how the government defines it. But by far, most small businesses have fewer than 100 employees. So,
when we talk about jobs added during an expanding economy, I've run into this number before, and I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's something like 3/4 of new jobs that are created every year are created by small businesses.
Yes, that's accurate. Yeah, that is true. And it's because, you know, they're resilient. So instead of being the ones that are laying off folks, they're the ones that are really trying to hang on to people and then also employ them. So
another thing I think about from an economic development point of view, and I'm talking to the Chamber of Commerce, and I'm not trying to attribute this to anybody in particular. So if I get it wrong, it's my fault, not theirs. We would never probably turn down a large company that would like to move into our economy and contribute to it. But at the same time, we value those small businesses because you don't have all your eggs in one basket.
Yes, absolutely. And so entities like economic developers and the chambers of commerce across the country typically have resources available for their small businesses, like Missouri Small Business Development Centers, like us. And my office is located inside the St. Joseph Chamber of Commerce because they do value small businesses and want to assist them. And then, of course, you know, the economic developers work on attracting large companies, you know, for so that their workforce can stay employed and have good benefits and stuff. But there is also resources there for the small businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when a large company has to move out of town for mm-hmm. whatever reason, that can have, think about Quaker Oats when Quaker yeah. Oats closed and left. A lot of jobs left with them, and it had an impact on our community. And not that we loved Quaker Oats and still
mm-hmm.
do,
mm-hmm.
But they're gone. We're in a small business, if a store closes an automotive shop or whatever closes, I guess it has an impact on the economy, but it's a smaller negative impact. So
mm-hmm.
Having that diversified base of businesses in a community is something that everybody likes,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely. And it's smart. You know, if you do have all your eggs in one basket, and then when that chicken goes away, you're in trouble, aren't you?
That's right.
To stay with the metaphor there.
So let's talk about some of the things that are going to be happening next week. Are there particular events that we've got on the schedule?
Yes, yes, we do. So I have a couple of events coming up. The Chamber of Commerce has some events going on all week. And then, of course, the SBA is hosting a virtual conference. So we'll start with them. The SBA is hosting their virtual conference on May 2nd and 3rd, so Tuesday and Wednesday next week. And again, it's virtual, so all you got to do is just, you know, look up SBA virtual conference, you know, and you'll find it. But they're going to have some really interesting speakers on there talking about everything from the economy to, you know, how to better build your social media. So on the first day, they've got someone from Visa is going to be speaking about the economic and small business outlook. They've titled it Recession to Be or Not to Be. So
that's the big question.
It is the big question.
Everybody's wondering, you know, I'm going to push this thing, this anti-inflation, push the interest rates hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to cause a recession?
Yeah, we shall see.
We shall see.
Yeah. So they're going to talk about that. They're also going to talk about how to leverage IoT for small businesses. IoT is Internet of Things. So this is not a common word for a lot of people right now, but it's been around for a few years. I remember the first client I had that came in and said, well, it's, you know, it's an IoT. And I'm like, what's an IoT? And he was like, Internet of Things. And I'm like, did you just make that up? And, again, this was a few years back when it was definitely not as familiar as it is now, but it's still not familiar with the masses. But Internet of Things is just anything that has to do with, like, the cloud and things that you find in it. So everything from software as a service to I don't know what, but those things that are part of the Internet now and are all based off of the Internet. The Internet went away, so would the Internet of Things.
Okay, so let me just see if I can find an example in my own limited mind.
Have at it, Barry.
Okay. What about, say, these doorway cameras that you ring the doorbell?
Oh, yes.
And would this be an example of the Internet of Things?
Yes, because the way it was explained to me is, like, it always has to interface with, like, software or hardware, but it requires, you know, like, Bluetooth or Internet to connect. And so, yes, I think that would be an example.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. A very common example. I like that. I'm going to use that from now on.
Well, so there's that. I think about also some things that have come up that, and maybe they seem outrageous or outlandish now,
uh-huh.
but we get used to them later.
Mm-hmm.
But things like having your refrigerator be a part of the Internet so that the contents of the refrigerator are always monitored by some entity, or the software or whatever, so that you can be told when you're short on milk or short on this or short on that.
Yes.
That's, I think I've heard that.
That is an Internet of Things, yes.
My goodness.
Yeah, and which
I'm
is
two
funny.
For two.
You are two for two. And I, you know, I have one of those refrigerators. But I don't refer to it as that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's great, Barry.
right.
Everyone is now smarter for listening to you on the radio this morning. But I will say this. So, like, you know, you have to know what you know, but you definitely have to know what you don't know. And so Internet of Things is not my expertise. But we do have a technology commercialization specialist throughout our Small Business Development Center network throughout the state. And so when people come in with something like this, I refer them to my colleagues so that they can talk with them about Internet of Things.
Mm-hmm. And so it's amazing what we are expected to learn as time goes by. And in some cases, it improves our lives. In some cases, it's a little confusing. But eventually, it matters to somebody, and somebody comes out ahead.
Yep. And sometimes it just becomes the status quo.
Yeah.
Like where everybody knows all about it and everybody has it.
Here's another example that occurs to me. This has nothing to do with the Internet of Things, but I think it shows that technology changes can become normal. I'm old enough to where I had no idea what a microwave was.
Okay.
The microwave was invented during my growing up period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever thought you'd need a microwave? What do you need a microwave for? Well, to warm up things. Psh, that's what stoves are for.
Right.
So before, the microwave was like nothing. And now it's indispensable.
Yes.
You've got to have it.
Yes. And now you find it in every single home, everywhere, built in most homes. So,
Yep. So there's another.
Yep. Example. Technology definitely has brought us very far.
It has.
So do we still have some time to talk about the virtual event?
Yes.
Okay. So the SBA virtual event that is happening next Tuesday and Wednesday, some of the other topics they're going to talk about is just simple steps to write and follow a sustainable business plan, which is very important. And they'll also talk about small business growth in the age of AI, artificial intelligence. And Microsoft is actually giving, someone from Microsoft is giving that particular talk. And then Constant Contact is an email provider. They are going to talk about unlocking the power of AI in email marketing. So we've all heard of like the different chatbots and things like that. So Constant Contact is going to talk about some AI that's used with emails. And then Meta, which used to be known as Facebook, is going to talk about getting creative with ads on Facebook. And they'll also grow with Google. So one of the partners is Google. They're going to talk about cybersecurity and your small business. And on the second day, there will be some information given about that the impact digitizing payments has on your business. Visa is giving that talk. T-Mobile will talk about evolving your small business with the power of 5G. Small business payment strategies to optimize your payment processes. This is actually a common question I get with people is like, which merchant service should I use? What point of sale system, you know, should I use? And it matters because they have different fees and different charges and some can do a whole lot more than others. And so they're going to kind of get into that at this particular session. They're also going to talk about future-proofing your small business for long-term success. So I think that's important. And we've talked about that on your show before, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll talk about the future of commerce. That might include some information about cryptocurrency. Yeah, I know.
Oh,
another topic that is not my expertise. Another topic is tapping tech to elevate performance, productivity, and profitability. And at the end of the day, ushering in the second half of 2023, some key insights for small businesses. So those are the topics that will be covered during the virtual sessions next Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday, mm-hmm. May 2nd and 3rd.
Mm-hmm. And it's totally free to attend. You just register so you can get the link from the SBA.
Okay. So, and to find out more, maybe if you wanted to get a rundown again on the classes and or the seminars and the topics, you could go online to get that?
Yeah, if you go to sba.gov, then they have the little search bar like most websites do, and you can just tap in, type in either virtual conference or type in Small Business Week, and it will pop right up.
Our guest is Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center. We're talking about next week, being National Small Business Week, and you told us about the first of all, the big 2-day seminar that the SBA is sponsoring. And again, more information about that is available. Just go to the SBA website.
Yeah, SBA.gov.
And you can get information about that and what the classes are, and it's free. You just do need to register. You let them know, and they can send you the link.
Yes, you just register so you can get the link.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But there's no cost.
There is not.
Or the cost has already been paid by tax
dollars. Our tax dollars, yes, because it's through the SBA.
All right. So, but there are other things going on as well. Tell us about some of that.
Yeah. Well, here locally in St. Joseph, the Chamber of Commerce is putting on stuff all next week. So I definitely encourage people to check out their website, which is Saint, spelled out, saintjoseph.com. And they have all their events that they're doing next week. They're doing some marketing stuff. And then I'm doing a couple of sessions for them as well. And so the first session that I'm doing is also on Tuesday, May 2nd, and it's at noon. So it's over the lunch hour, and it is called From Side Hustle to Full-Time Job. So we're going to talk about kind of exactly what that sounds like. Like, how do you know when your side hustle, your side gig, this thing you do on the side, is when it's time to make it official, you know, like make it a full-time business? And there are some key things to look at, you know, sales and things like that. And it's like, well, how do you know how much is enough? And how do I know, like, when to add an employee or what have you? And, of course, the logistics of how do I make it legit? You know, I'm just kind of doing it one-offs here and there, nothing that I really feel like I need to register or get a business plan or get a business license, rather. And we're going to talk about how you know when it's time to do all those things.
Okay, so that's a seminar you're going to lead.
Yes, I am leading that, and it's called From Side Hustle to Full-Time Job, and it's on Tuesday, May 2nd at noon.
Okay, and is that at the Chamber?
It is. It's being hosted at the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm.
And is there a charge?
There is no charge at all. Just go to the saintjoseph.com website and register. And just, again, so we know how many people are coming, so we pull enough chairs in the room.
Okay.
And then the other topic that I'm leading is on Friday, May 5th, so at the end of the National Small Business Week, and it's called Show Me the Money. So obviously when people come into my office, they are talking about businesses, which means they're talking about money. It takes money to run a business, takes money to start a business, takes money to buy equipment, you know. Money runs the world, if you will. So the Show Me the Money workshop is going to go over the criteria that is required in order to access funding. And we'll talk about the different types of funding that are available. We'll talk about whether it's traditional commercial financing or if it's equity or investors that you're working to get money from. We'll also talk about SBA loans and the criteria for those. And then there's some category that I call alternative financing, which is the other financing that's out there and available that I want to make sure people are aware of and who it's meant for, and also the ones to steer clear of.
So are you talking there about, like, grants or about grants, what they call angel investors and stuff like that?
So, yes, all of that. We will discuss all of that. So we will talk about, you know, grants and who they're typically reserved for, how to not get burned on trying to get a grant, the legitimate sites you can go to for grants, and how rare it is to get a grant.
just a lot of competition for it.
Yes, absolutely. And so we just need to set expectations for people with grants. A lot of people think that there's grants to start small businesses, and for the most part, there just aren't. But we'll go over the few that do exist. There are some we're also going to talk about during that session some grant funding that has came about in the last few weeks, actually, that is specific to childcare facilities. We won't go into detail with it unless there's childcare facilities there, and then we'll talk more about it. But basically, there is a new grant on the table where if they can get matching funds from a community partner or community business, then the state will match that funding. So if you're looking to get, you know, $50,000 from the state to expand your daycare, the the state will give you the $50,000 if you can get 50 grand from a company in town. And the purpose of this particular grant is to incentivize businesses to help with the cost and burden of paying for childcare. And so they would, that money would be used to save spots for, like, you know, that company's workforce.
Is that one of those needs that was exacerbated by the pandemic?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because I was just told the other day that for every job that's out there, there's 1.8 jobs for every one person out there right now. So we have more jobs than we have people. And because of the pandemic, a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, but there is a percentage of people that haven't returned to work because childcare is an issue. And so whether that's the cost of it or what have you, or the lack of accessibility to childcare.
So it has kept some people on the sidelines who would like to work.
Yes, it has. It definitely has. And so they're trying to help with that. The state is.
I think during the pandemic, we heard about a lot of childcare businesses had to close up.
Yes.
Because, you know, they didn't want people mixing up together.
Yes.
And they never came back. Yes. Some of them.
Yeah, some of them didn't come back. Yeah. Yeah, and so that has caused some people may have heard of like food deserts, but there's now places that they call childcare deserts where they don't have a licensed center even in the whole county in some places now.
We've got about 20 seconds left. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I want to say thank you to all the small businesses out there that work hard every single day. If you need any assistance at all, that's what the Missouri Small Business Development Centers are for. And you can reach me directly at 816-364-4105.
Thank you, Rebecca, for coming in as always.
Thanks, Barry.